What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? What heaven means to me. Let's sing about it now. Well, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? Well, meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Hallelujah.
Oh, now this is just what heaven means to me. It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen.
Hallelujah.
An ending day where night will never be.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather.
Oh, sing it, church.
Oh, this is just what heaven means.
I want you to sing with all you got. All your heart, buddy.
And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee.
Oh yes, I like this part right here.
And when they crown him Lord of all, that glassy sea.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, now this is just what heaven means to me.
We'll meet our loved ones, Brother Harry.
We'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a privilege it is once again to come to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Charity and Brett Lawson wants us to continue to pray for the family. They requested prayer for here last Saturday concerning this lady's pregnancy complications at 6 months. It resulted in an emergency C-section on Wednesday, and the Lord took the baby to heaven on Thursday.
Please pray that God will be with the parents and family during this hard situation. The funeral is today, so we certainly want to pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that family and undergird them with His love. The Ketchins family from over in North Carolina, I think their son passed away not yesterday, but they had his funeral yesterday. And so we just want to realize with them that they're going through a very hard time also. Let's pray that the Lord would comfort their hearts and be with them. Sister Mary Lewis sends this in, that she's suffering from hair loss, and the medication that she's been taking is causing a lot of complications. Her hair is falling out, and she says that she just wants us to believe and to pray with her for a total restoration of her hair. I believe the Lord that can heal this situation for me, just as He got me off the ventilator, healed me from pneumonia, and prevented me from having to go on a trach. And so on. He is faithful and true. Thank you, and may God bless you. So we certainly want to pray with her that the Lord would just grant her that petition, and may God grant it to her is what we pray. Sister Evelyn Wiggins sends this in to please pray for her mother, Sister Marilyn Wiggins. She will be having back surgery on Monday morning. It will be a 6 to 8 hour procedure. Pray that all goes well with a good recovery. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's just remember that prayer request this morning. Mae Blevins is at home. She got to go home on Friday. She's doing really well, and they want to thank you for praying. Also, Bernie Young, they had to put him in the Bristol Hospital last night. He suffered what they termed as real close to a heat stroke, and he's very sick this morning, so they're asking that we would pray on Bernie's behalf. Sister Jackie Williams, want to pray for her. She's not feeling well, having dizziness, so let's pray for her this morning. Want to pray for Daniel Brackett for many needs in his body. The Lord knows all about that need. Sister Gail Clark, we certainly want to pray for her. She was moved to the Quillen Rehab. She's struggling and needs healing, so let's pray for Sister Gail this morning. Raquel Luna, a prayer request on her behalf. Michelle Swafford sends that in, so let's pray for that need this morning. Also continue to remember Brother Tracy, who is recovering from surgery, so we certainly want to pray for our brother this morning. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you believe God's bigger than all these requests? You believe His power is forevermore. He's all-powerful, and He's going to always be God. Don't never have to worry about Him diminishing. He's going to always be God. I want to always be His, don't you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise as you stand this morning. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. God bless you, buddy.
Amen. I got a prayer request for a niece this morning that her brother left home about 15 or 20 years ago. I'm not good on dates. My wife always tells me I get it wrong, but he left home and he got off his medication, and they didn't hear from him for about 10 or 12 years, and everybody told her that he was dead, and she kept saying, no, he's not dead. And she said, I'm believing God, and she kept praying, kept holding on. And finally, she got in touch with somebody in another city, and they told her that they had found him and that he was just walking on the streets. And I tried to get him to come home. I wrote to him and so on, and it hadn't worked. And today, she's down in Baltimore. She's trying to catch up with the brother so that she can try to get him to come back home again. And I'd like for you to pray for that family today. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service this morning. Thank you for the service that we was in last night. Thank you for the words of praise that we hear in song. And Heavenly Father, we know that you're an awesome God. And Lord, that you say whatever we have need of, that you'll supply, even by your riches in heaven. God, you hear these needs, these requests this morning. Those that were sick in the hospitals. God, we pray that you move for them, that you heal them. God, we know there's no distance in prayer. God, those that lost a loved one, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you fill that empty place in those people's hearts. And God, I pray for this congregation this morning. God, may our prayers go up before your throne as one. God, we pray that you bless the service, bless the servant, God. Give them the words that you have them say. Help us to receive them. God, those by in there, in our fellowship halls and nurseries, God, we pray that you move for them. God, take complete control of this service. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, this morning, may God richly bless those folks as well. We've got a lot of visitors here this morning. If you're a visitor here this morning, would you just raise your hand all over the building? Just give our visitors a real nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. I already sense His presence among us, don't you? I believe He's in the house today, don't you? I want Him to be in this house too, don't you? Amen. Let's sing about it this morning, if you will. Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. Help me sing it. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be.
Since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Thank you, Lord.
For all the world to see. Touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. But ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Praise His name.
a couple of specials. This mic's not working.
All right. We got a couple of specials this morning. Brother Terry and his family stayed over with us last night, and well, they just blessed our heart. I hope all of you enjoyed the singing last night. It was, I thought, a good success. I know it was a real blessing to Brother Bill and his family, and well, you responded in such a wonderful, lovely way. So thank you so much for being here. Brother Terry, you just blessed our heart really good last night, and they're going to come at this time, give us a couple of songs. The brothers from North Carolina that stayed over, we appreciate you guys, the band playing. They just done a wonderful job, and we appreciate all of them staying over for the service today. Give Brother Terry, Sister Vicky, a good hand this morning as they come at this time. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen.
Well, Brother Louis said, raise your hand if you're visitors. I left mine down. I tell you what, all the places we've been and traveled, we've been in Happy Valley. PA system just said amen. We've been in Happy Valley more than we've been anywhere, and you folks are family. Appreciate you so very much. We'll let Tim sing this morning a song that there's people gathered all over the world, and they think they're worshiping God, and they're worshiping Satan. Here we are in most churches in the message you go to, they're all bound up and all tied up and don't worship. But I tell you, Happy Valley ain't like that. They know how to worship here. Amen. How many are free this morning? You know that you're free.
Sing, Tim.
Lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Take away my vision from these eyes that now can see. You can deprive me of the food I eat, and even bind my hands and my feet, but as long as I know Jesus, well then I can still go through.
Somebody go ahead and say amen.
Well, I can still go free. What kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for me? I'm so how this king, he could leave his throne to come and take on these old robes of an earthly man, to feel pain of this flesh and bone. But oh, in the later shot of that long, lonely year that led to Calvary, see his blood-bought stains, they broke us in the chains and said that I could still go
Well, we have a special treat for you today. Sister Betty Roberts, come on up. How many want to hear Sister Betty sing this morning? Took a long time to get this done. But I tell you, the Roberts family, the Yount's family, and are just so talented. And this church, you need to do a concert just to Happy Valley Church. And y'all just sing. A congregation is awesome. But found out one thing, there's a Yonce on every corner in Johnson City. So don't say anything bad about the Yonces. Come on,
see. Come help us over here. You play. They're going to let me off the piano. You got the words.
Y'all don't think I look funny standing up, do you? See, they said I look okay. They said I don't look right standing up. I need to be on the piano.
You find a part and I'll take one. Which one you don't want? But don't get on my part.
The last time we sung this, I was just a real young boy.
he was my age.
We've never sung this. So. Hope it'll bless you.
I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the pleasures I used to love, they've all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over.
Here's what I did.
Oh, I left it at Calvary.
Oh, yes.
That's where my new life began.
I've come too far to look back.
My feet have walked through the valley.
I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers.
Desert places I know.
But I'm here in the
home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing.
Heaven's angels are singing.
I've come too far to look back.
Let's all stand this morning, if you will.
Now look around, there's no happiness. There's no reason for living. Life can give you a broken dream, full of heartache and pain. Turn around, don't look back. Face the new day before you. Just place your hands in Jesus' hands. He can mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back.
My feet have walked through the places I've known.
But I'm here
to look back.
Heaven's angels are
singing. You've come too far to look back.
Amen. We're going to sing one more little song here. I tell you, Betty, you think you can join our group? Would you give her another big hand? Wasn't that awesome? I want to sing this chorus, and when I sing this chorus, I think of Happy Valley. And I tell you what, folks, what you did last night just speaks volumes of the character of Happy Valley. And, of course, that's a reflection of your pastor. And I want you to know we love you and love your pastor. Wonderful, wonderful folks here. But there's a land. We're temporarily here. This is not home. And the more I stay here, the more out of place I become. But I found another place, and Caleb's going to sing about it. Sing the last verse here.
See.
Why am I so homesick for? I'm not myself here anymore. I'm looking for an open door that leads to that land. So let's try these weak nights. Lift our hands toward the sky. Farewell, farewell to this world. Yes. Goodbye. I'm going to.
Why don't you stand with us and I'll sing it together.
Thank you, Brother Terry.
That's what we're living for every day. Amen. Jesus says in the book of Luke, pray you therefore that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That should be the desire of every Christian here today. Let's turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Let's just say, appreciate Brother Terry and him staying over today. Any other visitors that are here, appreciate them being here. The singers and all that for last night made it a blessing, I know, to Brother Bill, and they so appreciated it. We just trust that God will continue to be with our brother and strengthen him and help him and bring total restoration to him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Look at this word, abideth. Remain, continue, endure, to continue, to be, not to perish, to last, to remain as one. And I really like this last phrase. Not to become another or different. Amen. So he that loveth his brother, this is the security, the way that he'll know that he'll last forever. He'll never change. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Children, how much greater could it be? No occasion of stumbling. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. So he that hateth his brother is in darkness and actually progresses along and moves along in darkness. Really, there's not another group on the face of the earth today that light would mean so much to as it would message people. But when you look at light in comparison to love and you bring them together, it really makes you wonder how far along we are. Knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Let's bow our heads together today. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we are grateful that the grace of God has touched each of our hearts. No doubt our testimonies would be so diverse in how you've dealt with us, how you've brought us, the things you've brought us through. But yet it all points back to one source, and that is you. As we endeavor to look into your word today, I pray that you would help us, Lord. We are truly a needy people, but we bring our needs before you knowing that you are Almighty God and that you can meet them for us today. Pray that you'd help us, Lord. May the desires of our hearts, maybe we don't even know all the things that we need, but may supernaturally you intervene in our lives. Help us, I pray today. Father, we desire to be better people when we leave here, to have been given instruments that will help us to face the onslaught of the enemy, and to have the proper equipment to be able to fight a proper warfare. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on abiding in the light. Most of the time we relate light and abiding in light to doctrines, theories, beliefs, other than character, behavior, actions. And we think, well, I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and we generally judge people's light by what they say they believe. And truly, in the first age, when the original church was birthed by the breath of God, they believed that doctrine and theory and theology and things that you stood for and what you believed was very important too. But they also believed that behavior character, treatment of one another, how you love one another, and so on, was a very, very important issue. I'm reminded in 1964 when Brother Branham had mentioned something about tongues. He was asked a question about it in church order. And they brought up about tongues and prophecy and interpretation and things like that. And he, as he glanced over the audience, he saw that Junior Jackson was not there. He also saw that Brother Rettle was not there. These people that were there at the tabernacle, apparently there had been some people that had pulled away from Brother Branham's church, which had happened after December the 29th, something like that, 1963, when he set church order in. And because of that, some of the ones who left went to Junior Jackson's church or Brother Ruddle's or wherever more. And the people that had stayed at the tabernacle had begun to call them names. Now, Brother Ram said some of the names that they used were dead birds. And they said, if you are my children and you have said these things, I am ashamed of you. Now, you know, you look at that and you think, now he, instead of rebuking those people, because you and I would look at it and think, well, the prophet said this up and he said this, and instead of them staying with what the prophet said, bless God, they left. Typical message demeanor was the way they were displaying it. But instead of Brother Branham bragging on those people and said, y'all done exactly right. Bless God, you stood with the word. Hallelujah. Maybe God will send a thunderbolt up there and burn Junior Jackson's church and cast him into hell and fry the whole bunch like a bunch of French fries. No, that's us that says that. But instead, the very man that was, we would think, sinned against, he rebuked those that called them names. Now, you realize that Brother Branham didn't just do this here, but he started way back in the 50s. But then it was among the Pentecostals that he was preaching against, and demonology in different places. And he would say that they would call them buzzard roost. Buzzard roost. And louse nest. You know what a louse is? Okay. Well, now, here Brother Branham so rebuked them and so shamed them for humiliating one another because of difference of opinion. Now, basically, you're looking at the principle of what he's looking at and saying then if they are dead birds, so these other people were not recognizing them as being eagles, but they were dead birds. So they were dead while they lived. So the Pentecostals would call another church different from their church. They would call it a buzzard roost instead of an eagle roost. So if you're buzzards and you go there, that means you don't belong to God. Boy, we took a lot on ourselves, haven't we? We really took a lot on ourselves seeing who and who doesn't belong to God. How in the world did we become so godly to be able to know whose soul belongs to God and whose doesn't? My. Now, y'all ain't going to get quiet on me already, are you? Now, y'all behave nice. There's visitors here today. Don't let them think y'all don't amen the truth. They just got through bragging on y'all how good y'all was. Now, I want you to notice that John, as he's dealing with love and light and darkness and hate. And remember, this man has had more visions, more deeper experiences with God in the realm of vision than any of the rest of the apostles. He walked in a place with God that he was put on the Isle of Patmos, carried into heaven, which Paul went there and was brought back. Even Paul was not allowed to see what this man was able to see. He was able to peer into the realm of the sixth dimension, on into the seventh, and on even into the eighth, into eternity. He was able to go there and come back and write down things which no man had ever even seen or uttered up to this present time. And now this book here is written around 92, 93 A.D. And John has now come through the cycle that had come through the message of that day. When they had come through various cycles of the persecution of the church, how that the church had great revivals in the early explosion of the church when it was being birthed, great miracles, supernatural was happening, and things like that were still happening, but it had calmed down somewhat. Now the church is recognizing what they're here for, each of them trying to find their position of what God wants them to be. And now the focus is not now just only on expansion.
on more and more and greater and greater. But it is solidifying what God has already done in the hearts of the elect of that day. Giving them something to war. Now remember, John is one of the last ones of the original apostles that are still alive at this present time. Most of the rest of them have been killed. They've been beheaded. They've been sawed in two. All kinds of things, terrible things have happened to them. So if John is one of the last ones to be alive, and he believes he's led of the Spirit of God to bring things that will be paramount for the people of God at that time and the elect through the ages to hold on to, surely this man would not waste paper and ink and time and all of that to write things that were so trivial and didn't really matter. That would have no depth, no benefit to anybody. If it was something that was so simple and anybody could be able to attain to it, why waste time in the precious Word of God to write it if anybody can do it? But you know as well as I know, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is love your brother. You'll find it easier to love God than you will love your brother. But the truth of it is, you can't love God without loving your brother. Now we think we can. And we get that from Cain. Not from God. Because Cain loved God, worshiped God, went to church, so on and so on. And he could love God and hate his brother. I'm afraid, friends, that move is around us. Well, praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, notice John again says, we know, we're not guessing, we're not hoping, well, I wish I knew I had the Holy Ghost. Oh, how do I know? To me, this is one reason why so many folks around the message don't know if they've got it or not. They're looking at the wrong thing. I believe, and they believe they got the Holy Ghost because they believe and believe. That ain't what the Bible says. John says, we know. How many knows today that you know? Well, if you don't, you can before you leave. We know. There's no guesswork. A 75% chance, 50-50, 51-49. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, if this is what the modern church would say, well, we just love everybody. That's not what John's even talking about. If you think what people preach in this modern day is love, and you get this from this, you need to reread the book. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So notice the contrast that if you love God and you love your brother, you abide in light. If you love God and love your brother, you abide in revealed truth. If you love God and hate your brother, then you're actually walking in darkness and abiding. You're not just in darkness and out and in and out, but actually darkness is your residence. Friends, this is serious. Notice verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Lord Jesus. So a man or a woman that would hate their brother, not that you just don't like their ways now, but it's actually an advancement. I don't like the way he sings. I'm talking about something different from that altogether. It's something in your heart that you actually have something against them. Do you understand? When a person hates from their heart, God looks at them as a murderer. Lord, help us. So whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, how can this be? And yet most of them, there will be millions of murderers that will never raise one finger to touch anybody or harm them physically in any way. They would never take a machete or a gun or something like that, a chainsaw or, you know, some gruesome type of thing and kill them. Absolutely not. But they take this weapon right here and they unleash it out of its sheath and they start murdering. Lord God, help us. How could John identify a person as being a murderer simply from the avenue of it being in their heart. Now, John didn't say that they picked up a rock and hit them on the head or they run over them without an automobile. But John is going to the very source. Why? Because that's where his teacher went, the Lord Jesus. Notice this. Hate is one of those, as we looked at it last Sunday, it's one of those secret sins of the heart. And if you're not careful, it can be hid behind scriptures and quotes. You remember we looked at it a couple of weeks ago that John was one of these former message believers that had hate and had a spirit on him that was evil. Right. Because the people of a certain town had refused them and John and some of the others said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down out of heaven and destroy them? Notice that evil spirit went straight to the word. As Elijah did. Jesus turned right around and looked at them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. So that evil spirit went to the word for justification. Well, praise the Lord. My. I realize this ain't our camp meeting type sermon, but I tell you what, it'll make us ready for that land we just got through singing about. Do you honestly think, friends, we're going anywhere with hate in our hearts? Do you honestly think we're going anywhere? I don't care what we talk. I don't care how deep we think we are. If we hate one person, one, we will not be allowed to go into the body change. How could God change your body with hate in your soul? You see what a body change is going to be for you and I? What that body change is actually going to do. God will not change the soul. It's supposed to be changed. God will not implement something on the inside. The body change is simply moving on your atoms and the molecular structure of you as a human being and changing you as you stand right now. Are you ready for that this moment? If the body change were to happen in 5 seconds from now, is there anything in your soul that would prohibit your body from being changed? Jesus must have seemed very peculiar to the people in his day because he opened an avenue of the heart that man had read about in Proverbs. He'd heard David talk about it in Psalms. Isaiah had uttered some things about the heart, but it was never quite revealed the way it was till Jesus came. And Jesus, under grace, magnified sins of the heart. Watch this. Since the sins of the heart are very damning, they're very important that you and I find out what they are. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, you realize that an adulterer now, in the sight of God, may never actually commit the act. Adultery on the side of God doesn't always mean that they're at with this woman, that man, that woman, that man. No, but adultery in the sight of God is an adulterer from the heart. Watch, Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So he's an adulterer, but from where? Never been to bed with a woman. Never made a date with a woman. Come on. Never kissed a woman, never did anything like that, but yet in his heart. Now remember the stages of sin to where it moves beyond temptation, where that temptation becomes where you want to carry out the temptation. And this is the stage that Jesus picks it up. To be tempted is not sin, but to follow into that temptation, that is when it becomes sin. So you wonder how many adulterers that there are in this day that never have absolutely never physically broken their vow, but God looks at their heart and they hold within their heart the sin of adultery. You believe this? It's scripture, you have to. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her. Already in his heart. So a man can be an adulterer. If you notice now, Jesus didn't say it in the feminine gender now, that whosoever looketh on a man. Why? Because a man is touched by sight. Woman's touched a totally different way. So a person could be an idolater from the heart and not actually commit adultery and idolatry exactly the same way. Now listen carefully. A person can be an idolater from their heart. Watch Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. For this you know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. So then a covetous man who wants more and more and more and more and more money and more and more and more and more, in the New Testament view, this man is an idol worshiper. Maybe we should sing again. Now why? Why does this change? Because now the word is going to the secret sins of the heart. Now in the Old Testament, an idolater, of course, was one that would worship Chemosh, or would worship the gods of the Ammonites or the Amorites or the Hittites, and it would be an idol out of gold or silver or metal fabricated by artisans somewhere, of an image of something they thought that it was, and they would bring either live sacrifices or beasts or fruits or something to that, and they would fall down before it and worship it. But when it comes to the New Testament, it is a magnification of what the law could never produce. Because grace is going to do more, then it will also put more responsibility on the receivers of grace. So to think we receive grace and we can do anything we want to do, you understand nothing about grace. Grace doesn't allow you to get by with anything and everything. It requires more of us, brothers. If we would have lived in the Old Testament, brothers, we would have had to physically committed adultery with a woman. But you know as well as I know, in this day, women everywhere you look, they're stripped off, bunch of naked Laodiceans. Everywhere you look, and a man looks and he ponders and he lusts, we must keep our heart from such stuff. Not just our eyes, not just our body, not just the physical anatomy, but the heart. The heart. So a person can be an adulterer and never physically committed. A person can be an idolater and never physically bow down before an idol. So a person can be a murderer and never pick up one weapon. Probably many of you don't even own a gun. You wouldn't know how to use one. Taking a butcher knife and slitting somebody's throat? Most of you couldn't even skin a rabbit. To think about you committing homicide or committing murder, there ain't no one. Most of you would never think of such a thing with your hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. How can that be, since thoughts come from the brain? But you see, the brain is not the seat of your emotions. Out of the heart, Jesus says, proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the heart? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So out of the heart. Now, as we looked at it last Sunday, it was hatred that led Cain to murder Abel. Yet he believed he could worship God, he could love God, serve God to a degree. I read you all the quotes, or many of the quotes rather, where Brother Ben said he was sincere, he loved God, he worshiped God, so on and so on and so on. But he believed he could differentiate between God and his brother, who bore the image of God. So he could love God and hate his brother and be accepted. Watch this. I love this quote. Brother Ram says in Hebrews, and you people with these saw blade tempers that's always spouting off in the mouth at every somebody, can't put up things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right. You just go around and tear it down. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. Uh-oh, I just seen some posters go up in the post office. I think some of y'all's pictures was on them. Well, praise the Lord. I'm afraid mine would have been on there too. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. There's not an adult sitting in this building that ain't wagged our long tongue. I've got handguns in my house. I've got rifles. I've got shotguns. I would never think of shooting anybody. Never. Even if somebody broke in my house, I'd try to scare the fire out of them before I'd actually shoot at them. But why is it I think this is legal? Why is it that we think the tongue is more legal than a 44 mag? Amen, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. Watch this. Do y'all believe this? So you actually believe you can kill somebody by running down their character. Why do we do it? Brother Brown said, speak against your pastor, say something bad about him, you might as well shot him. Lord have mercy. Shot him. Told something that wasn't right about him, kill his influence with the people and things like that, you're guilty of it. Now let's not just leave that with a preacher, come on. Let's bring it on down to brother. Your brother, your sister. We become so denominational, friends, it's absolutely pitiful. This church with that church and this group and that group and another group, and we're divided and subdivided and subdivided and subdivided off of that. Oh my. Satan is doing his best to bring his together and doing his best to keep God's apart. I got news, fat liar. He ain't gonna do it. Amen. He ain't gonna do it. He will not keep God's bride apart. The prophet said it will be a miracle if he ever gets her together, but he promised it and he will. I don't care what Satan does. I don't care what all the demons out of hell do. There is a people around this world that are going to come together. They'll not maybe cross all their T's exactly right and dot all their I's, but they're going to be one in Christ Jesus by the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Listen to this in church order. If you can't disagree with a man and shake his hand and still have the same feelings. Now watch how Brother Branham moves beyond the thoughts now and moves into the feelings, which are easy to hide. Now if two brothers has got odds and there's people watching you and you walk up and you know they're watching you. That's not a feeling. That's an act. Because you're afraid somebody else will see it, so you're... But how do you feel when you shake his hand? Feeling-wise. Feeling-wise. Abiding in the light. The Bible tells us a brother is born for adversity. You do know the Bible says that. Now watch, Brother Man said, can you have the same feelings toward him? If you can't, there's something wrong with you. Now listen to this. If I can't disagree with a man, what? Brother Danny, did you make that up? Bitterly? You mean we're supposed to be able to so disagree that in a bitter way, and still think as much of him, listen, as Christ would. Then there's something wrong. Of course, we would say with him. But Brother Bam, don't blame the other guy. He says there's something wrong with my spirit. Friends, I wonder if this is why we're no farther along the road than we are. We've been through our cycles and the message. We've had all the so-called bride revivals and this great move and that great move and another great move. And, you know, the people who went to this man and to that man and another man. We've come full circle. We've come back full circle. Now I think we realize what we profess and what we say, if it doesn't line up to the Word of God, we all need to move up, preachers included. Amen. Which is to me one reason why the laity aren't any farther up, because preachers ain't no farther up than what they are. We emphasize on this doctrine and this deep thing and this deep thing and that deep thing. If we cannot love one another, we're not going in the rapture. I'm not talking about just, well, I agreeing on every little point. No, sir, absolutely not. But I'm talking about loving that man or woman. So much as I read it to you the other day where Brother Ram said that you, those early Christians, that they would die for one another. They would absolutely give their lives for one another. Oh, my. If I can't disagree with a man bitterly from one side to the other and think as much of him as Christ would, there's something wrong with my spirit. I haven't the Spirit of God. Whew. Lord Jesus. Think of it. I haven't the Spirit of Christ. If he says, well, Brother Branham, I believe your teaching is this, that. All right, brother, let's come together and reason, you and I. We'll take it ourselves and go over here in a room to ourselves and we'll reason it out. He just cuts me to pieces. And I have to say things back to him. But if in my heart I can't feel, not say, but feel. You ever shook hands with folks or hugged their neck and things just didn't feel right? You know, you look at them and they look at you and you smile and they smile and you embrace them and God bless you, brother, I love you. But just, and then your mind goes back to, I remember what it is. I remember me and him had this disagreement about so and so and so and so. And we will let that disagreement affect our feelings. We'll let it affect how we feel. And if we're not careful, it will become the cradle of hate. Feelings are such a powerful emotion. This preacher will let us down and that one will let us down. If you're not careful, you'll get to a place you hate all preachers. Because you got hurt by this one and hurt by that one. Friends, we've got to move on. We've got to grow up. We've got to let the love of God, this God that we're talking about is such a miracle worker. Oh, I long to see him perform miracles in our love life. Where we love him with all of our heart and we love one another with all of our heart despite our differences. Brother Bram said, if I can't in my heart feel the same about him, he's still my brother. I'm trying to help him. I'll never help him. There's no way for me to help him if I don't love him. What's the use of going over there and telling him, first place, brother? Now watch this. First place, brother, I don't love you. Some of you folks would be a whole lot better off if you'd just be honest. And if you've got an issue with somebody, just tell them, hey, I don't love you. I've just got a problem with you. I want you to kneel down here with me at the altar and pray me through to God will help me where I can love you. Lord, have mercy. We got too much message pride for that. Then we wonder why God ain't among us. We wonder why our young people are going back to the world. We wonder why the sick come among us and they ain't healed. We wonder why the Spirit of God don't move among us. Among adopted sons, God requires responsibility. He'll move out there for them with painted face and bobbed hairs and Jezebel. They don't know what you know. Adopted sons and daughters of God to come into that place of maturity. More is required of us, my friend, than it is for them. They don't know. Many of them never heard preaching on short hair and all that sort of thing. But we know what God demands of us. Lord, help us. My first place, brother, I don't love you. Let me get that out of my heart right here before we go in there, because I can't help you till I love you. Whew. This is the spirit this message was brought in. Preachers have the ability to change that. As laity, you had the ability to change it. The message is already changing from what it was when Brother Brown brought it. If time goes on, it'll change even more. We may be saying the same quotes. We won't look the same. We won't have the same attitude, the same spirit. We will have adapted a new way. But is it God's way? Listen to what the messenger said. There's been many times that I've scolded churches, denominations, the dressing of women, acting of men. I think I thoroughly supported that by scripture. Never one time, God knowing my heart, that I have ever had a bad feeling toward anyone. Well, I think I'll sit down. I can't say that and not lie. And I'm going to go ahead and say it for most of you. You all can't say it either. Why is it we don't think this is important? Would somebody please stand to your feet and tell me why do we think this has no value? But the more complex that we can make it, and the more complicated and hard to understand, we think that is so deep and so wonderful. And yet our heart's full of hate. Churches apart from one another, 5 and 10 miles, won't even speak to one another. Preachers meet preachers, won't even shake one another's hands, won't even speak. And we're all going to the same heaven. What do we got? Sections up in heaven? We got a Happy Valley section in heaven and a Branham Tabernacle section in heaven and all this other sections and nobody crosses the street in heaven? Well, if the change were to come right now and that's in our heart, then that would be carried to heaven. If that's the attitude we have right now and the change were to come right now and God were to change our body with that in our soul, that would be in the streets of paradise. I love this. He says, I remember one time a man named Moses. Those people we would call it in the southern expression, aggravated him. Just constantly kept him on the move. Everything was a murmur or complaint and so forth. But Moses, when it came to the showdown, when God said, separate yourself from them, I'm going to take you and start a nation. Moses throwed himself in the path of God's wrath and said, take me, not the people. He called rebels rebellion against God and him, yet he loved them so much till he said, take me and save them. That was Christ in Moses. And Moses didn't even have the Holy Ghost, church. Moses didn't have the new birth, and yet when it come right down to it, and God said, I'll destroy every one of them and I'll make a nation out of you. And he stands up there in the breach and said, no, God, don't do it. If you're going to kill anybody, kill me. Take my name off your book. What was that? Man got a glimpse into the heart of God. A look, a view into the heart of God. That means got Christ today in your heart? Would you say that about me? If God said today, I'm going to take somebody's name out of that book, and I'm thinking it's going to be Donnie. Would there be anybody here willing to say, Lord, don't take his name. Maybe he's messed up a lot, Lord. Maybe he's made a lot of mistakes. I believe he's sincere. He's ignorant in a lot of things. I believe he really loves you. Don't take his name out, Lord. Take mine instead. Lord, help us. Light. Light. It correlates with divine love. No matter how much some other would disagree with him. Listen to this. If he doesn't feel that way, then there's a lacking of Christ. Now Brother Brent brings it from Moses and brings it to us. I believe there's a lacking of Christ, I believe, from his heart. Not his lips, but his heart. If he don't feel that way towards humanity, not just the people in our church, not just the people in our message. It's very strange the way God looks at this, in that God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. He has the ability to divide the man from that corrupt nature that's on the inside of him, and God can look at the sinners. Look at the brother Abraham said, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Again, the handwriting on the wall, God hates sin, he loves the sinner. Again, the sign of the time, God hates sin and loves the sinner. He hates the sin, he loves America, but he hates her sin. But if we're not careful, we'll hate America and her sin. If you're a German, you hate Germany and its sin. You see, God can divide it. God can divide and look and see a woman on a street or a man on a street or whatever it be that's so vile and so wretched. And God can be able to look at them and see that there's a mortal. That they may not be bride. They may not be on the Lamb's portion of the Book of Life. But they might be able to be saved and live outside the city. Lord, help us. Now watch John as he moves on down on this in 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So eternal life then springs from the essence of the presence of the eternal being, which is God. So a person cannot live under the spirit of murder and be indwelt with the presence of God. Now, can we have hard feelings one against another? Sure. Can we have difficult things? Sure. But the Spirit of God in our heart will not let them stay there. You may battle this and that and the other, but the Spirit of God will convict you. How many thanks God for conviction? Oh, praise God. I am so glad for Holy Ghost conviction. I'm glad I still can't do wrong without something convicting me over it. You realize, friend, you're blessed. You're blessed. We're living in an age of reprobates. We're living in an age of people that have no more conscience. They have no more right to even know what's right and wrong. Thank God when you do something wrong that something pricks your heart. Thank God it leads you to repentance. Hallelujah. Let's move on. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. Now, John was very politically correct in his day. He didn't say anything that didn't make nobody mad or nothing like that. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Well, let me just go ahead and repeat the same thing John said. If you say you love God and don't love me, you're a liar. And if I say I love God and don't love you or any other mortal on the earth, I'm a liar. No matter how much I preach, no matter how deep I am, so-called this, that, has nothing to do with it. This right here, brother, sister, is the test of discipleship. This is why Jesus says, herein shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. Now remember, it ain't the ooey-gooey stuff that people are preaching today. It's divine love. You can't love divinely without the divine author of it being in you. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, if a man says this, notice the way John says it. If a man say, I love God. Now, he may say it and then think it and yet not do it, which means he's deceived. Or if a man says it and then his thoughts is different from his words, we know that makes him a hypocrite. So then a person, depending on which one of these they are, whether the both of these are aligned together, both mouth and heart, or really they say it in their mouth because it's the nice thing to say, but in their heart, they're either deceived or they are a hypocrite. So a person is acknowledging, I'm a brother, I'm a believer in the message. I believe every word that prophet of God said. Oh, I sure can't stand that so-and-so. They just contradicted what they said. Now watch. John says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. What in the world has that got to do with love? Now watch how he unfolds this. From the invisible to the visible, which tags back from the visible to the visible. Now you may not think there's a connection, but there's a great one. Watch how John ties this. For he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So what is not seeing God got to do with whether I love him or not? Or what has got to see in you having to do with whether I love you or not? That's the source of the problem, whether you understand it or not. Now, how can a man say that he loves God whom he has not seen, and yet he doesn't love brothers whom he has seen? Now, what's the imagery of how John projects this? If we love God's invisible image, God's invisible image, then would we not love the visible image of God, which has been created in man by the new birth? Now, you may not like this or that or the other about the human part, but remember there's another part there that God wants us to see. Loving your brother is not condoning his sins or putting up with all the things that would be wrong in his flesh. This is not your brother anyhow. This ain't even you. But when we get in trouble is when we go to discrediting the work of new birth or the work of new creation which Father God has offered in that individual. And then we say, well, if you don't believe what I believe, you ain't even bride. You ain't got no right to say that. Well, if you don't go to my church, and boy, if you don't stream our services and such, you ain't got no right to say that. Let God do the sorting. Let God do the creating. Let God do all the sorting. Unless us just be Christians and obey what God wants us to do. Notice, so this man, he says, if a man say, I love God. So if we love not God's visible image, how are we sure we would love the invisible? Now, why would this be such a hard time? Because it is the visibility of inconsistencies in brothers and sisters. It is the visibility of their humanity, the visibility of their shortcomings, the visibility of their struggles that we struggle with. So we see this issue and that issue and that issue and that issue, and we just have a hard time. Sometimes it's a lot easier to send $100 to a mission work overseas to a black boy or a Chinese boy or a Haitian or something like that, which you don't know. You don't know by name. You don't know where they live. You can't even spell their last name. You know nothing about them. It's a lot easier to do that than it would be to give $100 to a poor boy in our church. Because maybe you know their family squanders their money. Preach, Brother Donnie. So then we will judge by what? The visibility that we're beholding, which shows inconsistencies in their character. Why in the world did John write this so long ago to cause so much trouble? There's a great key to it, friends. Now, if a man say he loves God, and he said he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now notice in this man then, brother. Look at the term brother. So it's not the brother in the terms of humanity. Then one human looks at another human and sees the image of God. Even in that, we're made in the image of God, even though we're fallen. But here John is bringing it now to the mystical move of the body of God. And he's saying that if one man says he has a new birth, and he looks at this other man, which is his brother, in the same move, and he sees definitely God has done something in his life, but he says, I hate that brother. I don't like him. I don't like this. I don't like the other. And yet the man does not have the spirituality to look beyond the clashing of the human nature and to see that part, the work of creation that God is doing in that man. Then he said, how can you love God, which is invisible, if you cannot love the visibility of the work of that God in that man's life? All of us Christians should have signs on our backs and on our chest, under construction. Now maybe you're completed. Well, if you are, God bless you. Keep praying for us, because most of the rest of us are still under construction. I don't know what stage I'm in, but I know I'm on my way. And don't get big-headed and think you're going to leave without me, because I'm part of the rapture plan, so you ain't going nowhere without me. Praise God. I've got a predestinated slot in that gated community, and you ain't going nowhere without me. Amen. I've done got a title deed in that gated community, and I'm going to be there by God's grace. Now, you know, it's amazing how that we look at this, and in all times people find it easier to be able to be open-hearted. That's what I said last Sunday, that people sometimes can get along better with sinners and people they work with than people they go to church with. Why is it that we're so understanding to sinners? Oh, he's just a sinner. He don't mean nothing by it. Just cuss you like I don't know what. Cause y'all, you know, he don't mean nothing by it. And yet a brother. My. He didn't even shake my hand. Did you notice when he said about Cain? He looked right at me. Why is it we're so forgiving and so tolerant to blind, wretched Laodiceans? And we're so cold and so cruel to our own brothers and sisters. Any of you brothers hiring? I may need a job after this. The true test is actually found in the way that we respond to people we know and with whom we associate. You see, some folks are so forgiving when it comes to their brothers or sisters in the flesh, or their aunts and uncles and great aunts and third cousins and 14th wives and all that sort of thing. I mean, they just have a carload of excuses for them. But somebody they go to church with do 0.01% to them what their brother has done, or their uncle, or their daddy, or their nephew, and their serpent seed. Every time I say things like this, I go to smelling that strange smell. It's like the burning of flesh or something. Now you tell me, friends, am I telling you the truth? Why do we do that? Why are you so forgiving of a whore? Why would you be so forgiving if you found out your nephew was a homosexual? And you try to look for every excuse to justify why is that way? Or why your niece got into trouble doing this, or your uncle, or your so-and-so, or so-and-so, and so-and-so. But if you found out somebody in somebody else's church, which you didn't like, was that, you can't wait to get on your phone to post it on Facebook. This is the capstone, friends. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. But notice John says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. So here he's tying love to seeing the brothers. He don't love his brother whom he's seen. How can he love God that he's not seen? Well, what's the point? What is the point? What difference would it make about, well, what if you see God and there's things about him that's different than what you think? Now, if God took on the form of a man and he was black, would that hurt some of you white folks? What if he looked like a Choctaw Indian? Or an East Indian or Chinese with slanted eyes? All you white folks think Jesus is white, the black folks think he's black. Chinese think he's a Chinese Jesus. I don't make no difference to me what color he is or if he's slanted eyes or whatever. He's Jesus. That's what matters to me. But notice how John ties the inconsistencies and the frailties in the way that people will base their love on conditions. He said, you look at your brothers and you have problems in loving them because you see these things that go against you. Well, he said, well, what about God? What if you saw God? And there was something about God that was so different than what you had presumed in your mind that God was like. Would you not like God? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Has God ever broke y'all's heart? He sure has mine. God ever answered prayers in such a way that you didn't want him to, and really it kind of bothered you some? Don't tell me I'm going to be the only honest person in this building today. You prayed prayers before and they didn't come the way you wanted, and you just flat got disappointed. And you were viewing God through the way you had prayed it, and you just knew God was going to answer it that way. And when he didn't, because you didn't see maybe the greater portion of his will, it hurt you. It let you down, it disappointed you. You prayed for your mother, she had cancer, you prayed for a father, you prayed for a child, you prayed for a husband, whatever more, and whenever God didn't answer, you believed and you believed and you'd done your best, and God's will was, God's greater decision was to take that individual on for a purpose that you might not know till you get there. And you felt really hurt, you felt let down. Why? Why would you feel that way? Because now you're relating to God and seeing this side of God that you don't think that way, and it hurts your feelings. Don't you see, when we put God in this perspective and then we put human beings in this perspective, this is why John writes and said that if you can't love your brother, which bears the image of God whom you've seen, then what about the God you have never seen? Amen. You might find out things about him you don't like. Oh, he's not a sinner. He didn't do anything wrong. But his way, The way he goes about doing things is totally different than us. Can I have just a little bit more of your time? 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, the very next verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I love this word, believeth. Commit to one's trust. You see, believing is not just saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. But it's actually committing to one's trust. It's believing enough to commit. Committed to think to be true. Using the New Testament of the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law of soul. To entrust a thing to one. His fidelity. To be entrusted with a thing. Now this is not the average modern Laodicean, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and never make no change in their life. The person who does it this way commits everything to Jesus Christ. Their wardrobe, their music, their movies, everything, their Facebook account, everything they do, they commit to Jesus Christ. Now the person that does that is actually, listen to this word, it's absolutely beautiful. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is, not was, but is the Christ, the anointed word, is born of God. Now, I didn't graduate from high school, neither did I go to college, but I got enough sense to know dogs begat dogs, cats begat cats, horses begat horses, and if God ever gave birth, what would God give birth to? It wouldn't be a bunch of idiots or a bunch of ignoramuses. It would be amateur gods. Can't you see why Satan don't want us to be like God? He made his threat before God in Isaiah. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And the Hebrew word, those stars is progeny or Messiah's brothers. He's tried to do it by all kinds of things. He's tried to do it by difference of doctrine and separation. But I got news for the devil. He ain't going to stop the Messiah's brothers. We're not only going to lay our hands on the sick and him recover. We're not only going to preach the gospel, but we're going to love the unlovable. We're going to reach beyond our own little circle and reach out to brothers that totally disagree with us. And love like Jesus would love. Let me close with this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. How amazing 1 John moves to present bright light. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God only had at that time one begotten son. He was called the only begotten son. 1 John 3:16 takes John 3:16 and puts it in a bride's flesh. And says, as he laid down his life, so we ought to lay down our lives for others. Now he moves to a broad spectrum that the genos of God is not just now one begotten son, but many. And if you love him that begat, which is genos, Greek, the ability to father a child. If you love him that begat, then you'll love the rest of the gene pool that are begotten. Why, they come from the same place you did. Friends, when are we ever going to get it in our head that the thing that causes us most of our problems, it ain't this born again soul, it's this. How can two men full of the Holy Ghost, their souls clash? Totally impossible. But them two men full of the Holy Ghost can sure clash on this. Well, they can clash in their spirit. They can clash on I believe and I think. How can two born again souls come from the same gene pool of God ever clash and argue and hate one another? Totally impossible. You stand. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat
loveth him also that is begotten of him. Begotten of him. How much light today is in our souls? Verse 2 in John says this, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God. I mean, it's just like it goes back and forth and back and forth. They're inseparable. It's totally inseparable. No matter which way you say it, it comes up with the same answer. You love the Father, you love His children. You love He who beget, you love those who are begotten. And you can't do it with lip service. You love them so much, you lay down your life for them. I used this a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to use it again. If while we were in service today, a law had been instituted from the White House, the Supreme Court, justices, Congress, Senate, state of emergency, we're under executive power by the President of the United States. This church has been deemed a threat. We've been viewing your websites for a long time. Look at your sermons. There's hatred that comes out of there. Call people names. Hurt people's feelings. We want the pastor of that church to walk out in this parking lot to a firing squad. Unless there'd be somebody here that'd be willing to take his place. And then each one of us would go down. Anybody in this row? This one. Each row would have its chance. And you would have yours. And you know, say, I've got a family. What about my wife, my children? What would I do? I mean, models pick out my casket, hadn't I? Just go ahead and bury me in this suit, Carol. It's okay. I'm sure there's people right here today that would take my place. I know you would. But would you take the place of that man who you struggle with? Who just irritates your flesh? All of us have got at least one or two thousand. I mean one or two that just seem to know how to push our buttons. Sometimes it's a child. It can be a brother. It can be a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. It can be a pastor, a deacon. It can be all sorts of people. And just see, my family don't even have to try. Just getting around you. Your buttons just go off. They just... if they were the one going to be shot. And the firing squad was standing right outside the door and said, as soon as you're dismissed, sir, we're taking Bill Blair and we're killing him. Unless, of course, somebody would take his place. Jerry Phillips. Whoever it is. If you could just get in your mind now. Scarcely for a good man will some die. Peradventure for a righteous man, some will die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But Brother Donnie, would I have to do that? No, more than likely we wouldn't. But God wants you to be willing to. You see, God knew he'd never ask Abraham to really take the life of Isaac. He knew that, Brother Terry. God knew that all along. But he wanted Abraham to be willing if God wanted it. Do we love one another? Brother Donnie, I'm so deep. Please, please, don't. I want to know what you are. How do you treat those who laugh at you? Those who say things against you? Do you pray for them? Do you rejoice and leap for joy when they cast your name out as evil? Do you turn the other cheek? No, he only turned the page on Facebook. On Facebook. And you write another page about them. Remember, friends, the angels of God are taking note of what you post on Facebook.
Your attitudes, your opinions toward people, what you say. It ain't just the government watching you. I ain't worried about the NSA. It's hey, hey, hey is who I'm worried about. The Almighty God. Forget the NSA. He's watching what I'm saying. He's watching my attitude. Are we really abiding in the light? The emperors of Rome, one thing they noted about the Christians, how they loved one another and how they died. How they loved. What are we noted for, Happy Valley? Long hair? Long dresses on the women? Are we known for our love? Is our message known for a message of love? To be able to stand against wrong and stand against things that aren't true, but yet from our hearts try to reach out to those that we would preach against their sin and love them. Let's bow our heads as we think about it. Lord Jesus, as we have our heads bowed to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, we know if you would tarry, our bodies would go back that same way. Lord, these are serious times. It's things really, Lord, that makes us feel like we've come short, makes us feel heavy. As a minister, it does me. Because I look at my life and I see there's been times I could have dealt with things in a much more Christ-like way. There's been times, Lord, that I haven't had the right attitude toward folks. For that, I'm very sorry. Lord Jesus, I've been able to pray for many, many people. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen miracles that's absolutely unexplainable. I've seen you do things just by simple prayer. It's so wonderful. But Lord, I still want that. I still believe in that. But greater than that, Lord Jesus, I desire to love the way you loved. And if I would bitterly disagree with a brother, though we would clash on this point or that point of doctrine, I want to be able to hug his neck and not just put a smile on for everybody else's sake, but to be able to hug his neck and feel that feeling in my heart that it's the same as it was before we differed. It's sad for us to say, Lord, I know it myself from firsthand experience. I've crossed with preachers. You cross them one time. That's it. I've been cut off from many. You disagree with them on one thing and they cut you off and start running you down. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Help us to be like you, Jesus. Help us to lay aside these childish things of jealousy, anger and strife and bitterness. Bring us to the capstone, Lord. We can love like you. And it, dear God, love through me, Holy Spirit, love through me. Let's just sing it to him. I will be your house to dwell in. Love through me. I will be that good Samaritan to someone else in need. Love through me, Holy Spirit, love. Everybody, can we raise our hands? Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, yeah. Oh, grant it, Lord God. as I lift my hands to worship, oh God. We come to magnify you. We come to honor you, Lord Jesus. Help us to lay aside our carnality, our immaturity, Lord. Help us to grow in this depth of love. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord God. May there be such a baptism of the love of God that will go among us today, Lord. Oh, Jesus, the apostles were gathered together after they received the Holy Ghost and the presence of God shook that place. Lord, shake this church today, Lord God. Shake this place with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A refilling, Lord Jesus, that every fiber of our being will be filled with your love, filled with your mercy, filled with your goodness, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord, to dwell in flows through me. Yes, Lord God, I will be that good Samaritan to someone else that's got a need for. Would you take that person by the hand? Let's offer a word of prayer for each other. Let me just ask you, on this basis of divine love, is there enough evidence against you today in this building to convince you and to convince others that you are guilty of being a true, born again son or daughter of God? Is there enough against you in the character of God that people can see you turn the other cheek? You love the unlovable. Is there enough against you? I hope and pray by God's grace there is. Yeah. Heavenly Father, as we have our hands clasped one to the other, we're not now offering prayer for ourselves, but for our brothers, our sisters. Some husbands have their hands wives, and some parents with their children. Other brother to brother, sister to sister. Lord Jesus, we believe these things are true today. Lord, we may not be there yet, but we say by God's grace, we're going to be. You did not die in vain, Lord Jesus. Your work will be completed in my life. Oh, hallelujah. May the presence of God help each of us. The visitors that are in our gates today, Lord, I pray that you'd be with them and help them in their walk and their life. Help each of us, Lord. This ain't really just a message for Happy Valley. This is for all of us. All the bride around the world, no matter where I've been, Lord. I was in India and China, Europe, Africa, the different nations of the world I've been in. It's the same thing. A lack of real love. Preachers fussing, fighting, arguing. But help us, Lord. Brother Bram said that he was told that when John got old and he couldn't preach no more, that he just sat around and cried and said, love one another, little children. Love one another. Oh, Lord Jesus. Granted, I pray, dear God. Thank you, Father. And the saint said,
amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I pray for Sister Sherry, this request going to this prayer cloth. Dear God, you know what it is. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of God? Why didn't you recognize? It is a custom of ours that we have ambulances after service outside. So any of you that can't walk, if you're beat up so bad, just raise your hand. One of the deacons will come and get you and pack you out. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and one of the deacon brothers told me, he said, Brother Donnie, the only problem with that was, who's going to pack us out? Amen. I want to recognize him, don't you?
I want to recognize His presence and recognize what I need to get out of this world. Every day, friends, it's becoming a more unfit place for you to live. Let's get ready to leave this world. Let's sing together. The day before yesterday, they crucified my Lord. Beat Him unmercifully and nailed Him to a tree. The sky grew dark and the earth began to fall. People cried, surely we've crucified the Son of God. Everybody now, why didn't we recognize the Son of God was here today? Didn't our hearts burn as He talked along the way? Shouldn't we have known?
Yeah, Lord!
Oh, shouldn't we have? Now listen, today a friend and I walked down a road. Oh, we didn't know our Lord had a road. Amen. But then a man drew near, spoke words so wise. Broke the bread and blessed it.
Amen!
Vanished and opened up our eyes. Why didn't we recognize the Son of God was here today?
Glory! Thank you, Lord Jesus! God,
shouldn't we have known? Oh, shouldn't we have known?
Now let's sing it, the bride version of it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, I'm so glad I've recognized the mighty God.
Bless your name, Lord God.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God bless you as you go. May God bless and keep you. May His face shine on you. May His presence be with you. May we gather there at that great gathering of the elect of God. And I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. Oh, let a bride cry, holy. Oh, I clap my hands and sing glory. I sing glory to the Son of God. Everybody, God bless you. Oh,